Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Joshua 7 is so sobering. Sin will destroy our life this morning. And I've been preaching on the miracles of Christ now for several weeks, and I'm going to take a drastic turn this morning, and I hope that you'll stay with me. But sin will destroy our life. In Genesis chapter number 3, and I normally have us to stand and I read and all of that, but just stay with me this morning. I'm going to talk to you and lead into to where I want to be. In Genesis chapter number 3, God created, or in Genesis 1 and 2, God created everything. He created mankind. Man was created in the image of God, whenever we study it out. And God put Adam and Eve in a garden and give them free rule and reign to take care of everything, to partake of anything that they wanted to, with the exception of one thing. And he said of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for you not to take of that. And we all know the story of what happened. The serpent beguiled Eve, and Eve and Adam both ended up partaking of that thing, of that fruit, whatever it was. I know a lot of people speculate it to be an apple or this or that, but whatever it was, they took of it, and sin entered into the world. Whereby one man, sin entered into the world, for all have sinned because of that. David even said this in Psalms, that we was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's simply that we are all sinners from the day that we are born. You say, well, my child, my little baby's not a sinner. Your little baby is a liar. That's what your little baby is. And you say, my baby's not a liar. Well, has your baby ever started just crying out of the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night, screaming their little old head off, and you jumped up out of bed, you run, you're fixing to learn about this, son. Brother Matthew, you're fixing to learn about this. You run in there, and whenever you get in there, Miss Dawn, you grab that little baby up, and as soon as you grab that little baby up, they go, and they quit crying. Am I right, Brother Tim, Miss Vicky? They quit crying. And they, you know what they're saying? I fooled you. I knew I could get out of my bed tonight. You know what they done? They just lied. They were screaming to the top of their lungs that something was wrong with them, but there really was nothing wrong with that baby. That sin, it's entered into our world. Every one of us are sinners today. There's two types of sinners in the world. There's saved sinners and there's lost sinners. Because we get saved by the grace of God does not mean that we'll never sin again. Each and every one of us in this room will sin today. Now say amen and help the preacher this morning. But here is the key. We must learn how to deal with sin, or sin will deal with us. We must learn to confess that. We must learn. Man, did not Brother Leon Holyfield preach the house down on Wednesday night? We got to have that open line of communication. Sin must be out of our life. When you come to Joshua, we know that Moses dies off the scene. Moses has been leading the children of Israel. They've made their exodus out of Egypt's land, and they've crossed the Red Sea. Now Moses dies off the scene. Joshua picks up the mantle of Moses, and Joshua is leading them to Canaan land. As they began to possess and overtake some of the lands, you'll find out that Joshua tells them that there is an accursed thing that they cannot take up. They began to talk about those things that is in that, and that goodly Babylonian garment, and the different things that they cannot do. And here's what he says: if you take of the accursed thing, then judgment's going to come on your life. It's just like us. If we sin and we don't confess our sin, then judgment comes in our life. In Joshua chapter number 7, the Bible said in verse number 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan,
the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zeruah, of the tribes of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Not just Achan. It was not just Achan that God was angry with, but it was all of the children of Israel that God was angry with. They go to try to overtake Ai. They're not able to overtake Ai. And 36 men, according to verse number 5, end up dying there at Ai. When you come on down, Joshua begins to pray. He begins to seek the face of the Lord. Verse number 10 says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon the face? Israel," look at verse number 11, "Israel hath sinned." Joshua seeks the face of God because things is not right with the people of God. And here's what God says to Joshua, "Israel hath sinned. Israel hath sinned." Now, I want to say something to you in passing this morning. There is times that I really believe in all of my heart that God allows the man of God, the leader of the church, to see things that others may not see. I'm not preaching to you this morning saying that people in this church is involved in what I'm fixing to preach on, but I am saying this. Maybe it is a reminder to us that we better be real careful with sin. He goes on to say that Joshua calls all the people before the Lord. And when Joshua calls all the people before the Lord, he comes to Achan in verse number 19. Look what the Bible said. "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold," watch this, "it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it." It was hid in his tent. Watch this by way of introduction real quick. What did the Bible say? The Achan coveted that. The Bible said this. He said that he saw in verse number 21 among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. He saw it. Now hear me and hear me well. Was it wrong for Adam and Eve to see the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Absolutely not. God did not say that they could not look at it. When they saw it, it was not sin. When Achan saw this, it was not sin. But watch what Achan does. Continue reading the verse. "And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I," what, "coveted it." To see it was not sin. To covet it becomes sin. That word covet simply means this. It means to desire wrongfully. He saw it and he coveted it. He wanted it. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. When David... Now, we all know David should not have been at home when he was at home when he committed the sin with Bathsheba, because David should have been on the battlefield. It was at the time when kings go forth to battle when you study that passage of Scripture. When David walks upon his rooftop, and man, I got a better picture of a rooftop of a house this week than I've ever had from the Old Testament. You that was at Esther understands what I'm saying about that now, how the rooftop was, and they would walk out on that rooftop. When David walked out on that rooftop and saw Bathsheba bathing herself, was that a sin for him to see her? No, it was a first look. If he would have turned around, and I'm not saying that you go looking for things like that. Are you hearing me? If I'm driving down the road and somebody runs by me or drives by me that is inappropriately dressed, or if some hussy's out in her yard taking a bath in open view and I drive by, I didn't misinterpret what I just said. I meant what I said, because she sure ain't a saint if she's out in her yard taking a bath. Now, you can holler amen or old me right there. And I see that driving by. Brother Tim, I've not committed sin by driving down the road. When I hit the brakes and I turn around and go back to drive by again, I've just sinned. For him to see this was not sin, but then he coveted it. He said, watch this. He not only coveted it, he committed. What did he say? He said, I took them. But note what he does. He said, I hid them. I hid them. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. I'm probably not going to be that long, but I want to ask you this question. What are you hiding? What are you hiding? You know, a lot of times in our life, we come to church and we act like we've got it all together, don't we? I mean, look around this morning. Everybody looks nice. And man, they've dressed up. We look nice. And some's put war paint on this morning. We're very thankful that they took time to put war paint on this morning. And we're not interested in seeing you in your natural state. Thank you for putting war paint. We fixed up because it's the house of God, and we should fix up for the house of God. This is God's house. We ought to put our best on when we go down to church. But you know what? A lot of times, man, we come in and we've got our Bible in our hand. We walk in and we sit down. Is everybody still all right this morning? We walk in, we sit down on the pew, and man, we sing, I know my name is there, and we raise our hand, and I like that. Matter of fact, I'm probably a little more lively than a lot of people are used to sometimes. I like to say amen. Matter of fact, I'll stand up every once in a while and holler amen. I've been accused of being Pentecostal every once in a while, but whatever you want to say, the Bible said, praise the Lord with a loud voice. Amen. Let anything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. But we walk into church, man, and we act like we've got everything under control. We sing, I know my name is there, and we raise our hand. They sing about the last blood. Hey, man, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what, man? I could have gotten up right behind that. I could have bootlegged 5 minutes about the blood of Jesus Christ being pure blood and precious blood and priceless blood. And we could have shouted amen and went home. And we'd have said, boy, we had a time at Amazing Grace this morning. And we act like everything's fine. But really, a lot of times, there's things that's hid deep down inside of our heart. Achan was still going about the camp as normal. Achan, if you was to see him, he'd have said, hey, Brother Bailey, how you doing today? Boy, it's great to be in the house of God. Man, I like that Bible. It's good to be in church. Now, ain't you glad you saved? I mean, he's really enthusiastic about it. Somebody might ought to check his blood pressure and sugar. Brother Corey, it's good to be saved, amen? Yeah. Brother Josh, hallelujah. It's been a great week, hasn't it, man? Lord's good, ain't he? But boy, deep down inside, there's some things that's hid we want nobody to know about. You see, we think that we've got it all under control. We think that whenever we pick up our device, everybody still awake this morning? We pick up our device. My phone's back there. But we pick up our device, and you know what? You can go anywhere you want to go right there. You can do one of two things. You can allow this to be a tool, or you can allow this to be a toy that ruins your life. You know how many marriages has been busted up because they got on this and used it as a toy? I use mine every day. If you want to know my calendar, if you want to know what I got to do, it's all right there, and you can go right through all of that. It's a great tool. But how many people has things hid?
How many people comes to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and even Wednesday night? How many may teach a Sunday school class? How many may have raised their hand that I know my name is there? But deep down inside, there's something that is hid. You know, I came in church this morning and of course, at the beginning, I just had a T-shirt on because we was loading that trailer. But a while ago, I changed right before we come out to preaching. And whenever I came out, several people had said this, "Preacher, you look nice this morning. I like that suit, preacher. You look sharp." And I said, "Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate it. Wife done a good job." Will even said, "Looked like I was putting on a little bit of weight." I looked at Miss Leslie a while ago while the choir was singing. I said, "We got to go on a diet this week." One said this, "Preacher, man, that's a good-looking watch this morning. You got a different watch on, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Preacher, you look nice." How many times do we come in church and we've got this face on, but really deep down, I know I'm preaching completely different than I normally preach, but I want you to stay with me. Really deep down inside, it's not what it seems to be. And we may have our life fix the way that everybody thinks it is. We live our false social media life. Are you with me? We live our false social media life. But really and truthfully, if you could see us, our mic cable's not tucked in. Y'all know mine always is. Our shirt's really not pressed. And our life is really a mess. Why? Because we got things hid and we don't want nobody else to talk about. We don't want nobody else to know about it. If they knew about that, their opinion of me would probably change. Oh, we post, "I love Jesus." And then we like seven other posts that's full of cursing and taking the Lord's name in vain and inappropriate things. We say, "Yeah, man, preacher, we ought to be good to our family," but as a husband, we treat our wife like a stepchild. Things that we say to her, the way that we would act to her, we would never act that way to nobody else. You treat your husband in a complete, hear me right here. If you treat a man at the job place any better than you treat your husband, you got a problem, ma'am. And sir, if you tell somebody at work that she's good looking and you don't tell, number one, if you tell her she's good looking, you got a problem. You're doing more than walking past. You're starting to glare in the wrong direction. I thought about different things that we would hide. What about adultery? What about adultery? Everybody still awake this morning? One of them says fornication. You say, "Preacher, it's the same thing." I said, "No, it's not. Fornication is when you're married and you step out on your spouse. Adultery is when you're not married and you're unfaithful to God. Because God..." Y'all saying, "Man, we refocus on miracles. Where's the miracles?" I'm just preaching what the Lord said preach this morning. We come in, we all look good. We all look like we got it together, Brother Tim. Hallelujah, the Lord's good, amen. But really deep down inside, what's there? God gave you something from your birth, and it's called your virginity. And no one else should ever get that but your spouse. Amen, Preacher Barker. You're running well this morning. I know I am because I'm preaching the book. It says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Does that mean I'm not supposed to shake her hand? You study that out. That's in an affectionate way. To shake someone's hand, there's nothing wrong with that. Somebody in their time of need to go, "I love you, I'm praying for you." There's nothing wrong with that. That is dealing with an affectionate way. An affectionate way. When you put your arm around that lady, sir, you might as well say ma'am in today's days too. And there's other thoughts in your mind, you're wrong.
to look upon a woman to lust after. The Bible said you've already committed adultery in your heart with her. Hello, this morning. You said, preacher, I'm just looking at the menu. You know what? You go in a restaurant and sit down and look at a menu long enough, you're going to order something. I thought about bitterness. Well, that's a tough one, ain't it? The children of Israel is facing defeat because of the sin of somebody in the camp. Boy, God's been good to us the past 5 or 6 weeks. We've had first-time visitors every Sunday morning. God's been blessing us. But I just wonder maybe if there isn't somebody in the camp this morning that may have a little something hid. I wonder what God would do, Brother Randy, if we would really get honest and be, preacher, my life's a mess. Look, you don't have to bring it to the preacher. Take it to God. You don't have to come tell me everything that you've done wrong. You don't have to come confess all your sins to me. I'm not the Pope with no hope. Take it to the Lord. Take it to God. That bitterness that's eating inside of you. Oh, you may have your suit and tie on this morning. You may have your dress on this morning. But if I mentioned your mother-in-law's name, I'm being honest. Oh, you just don't know. If I mentioned your father-in-law's name, if I mentioned your ex-husband or your ex-wife's name, oh, don't you go there, bless God, they took me for everything I had. You're bitter. And you know, here's the problem with bitterness. You are the loser. Because their life is continuing, and while their life is continuing, you have a Facebook life that you make everybody think that you're all happy, and you come to church carrying your Bible, and you make everybody think, but deep down inside, it's killing you. You got it all hid. You got it all hid. I thought about this. Brother Tim, what's one of them words on the back? I can't remember what all Miss Leslie. Ooh. Ooh. Gossip. Backbite. It's all right here. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I just don't think the preacher should have done it that way. He shouldn't do this and he shouldn't do that. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if I was the preacher, well, it's probably a good thing you ain't. And can I just stop and say something in all humiliation, not being arrogant and not being ugly? I'm just being as honest as I can be. 15 years ago, God called one pastor at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. You know who it was? Jonathan Barker. That's who he called and placed here. Brother Heath is a great help to me. I love Brother Heath. He works alongside of me. He took a vacation day tomorrow to go help me. I love Brother Heath. He's in the youth church this morning. He's doing a great job out there. He's preaching his heart out to those kids. But he is not the pastor of this church. I have 3 of the greatest deacons that you'll ever find. They've never went behind my back and done anything but buy me vehicles and give me raises. And they can go behind my back and do that anytime they want to do that. Somebody say amen right there. They've always stood with me. They've always been good to me. But God did not call them to pastor the church. He called them to help the pastor. He called Brother Heath to help the pastor. God put me here. And when you go behind my back and you stab me in the back and you run your mouth about decisions that I make, you know what you're doing? You're gossiping. You're backbiting. These 6 things does God hate. Yea, 7 is an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh, we may have walked in this morning and act like Brother Josh. We had it all together. Everybody that sees us may say, wow. ORP, he's got it together. We've all questioned that for many years, but he's got it together. Man, did you see Stan and Shannon and their girls sitting on the front row? I know I can preach to them, and them not get mad and leave the church. Did you see them sitting on the front row this morning?
Man, they were smiling. They looked nice. Man, they've got their life all together. But I wonder if we could really see deep down inside of you this morning. What have you got hid? What have you got hid? I thought about one more that I'm going to give you, and then look there, my shirt tail's still out. I hadn't got it all together. It's borderline. He's about to come apart. I thought about one more that I want to give you, and I'm done. What about religion? What about religion this morning? Can I tell you something about religion? Religion will take you straight to hell. It'll take you straight to hell. You say, well, preacher, I got my Bible this morning. Preacher, I'm in church today. Preacher, I'm saying amen while you're preaching. I was in the choir, and hopefully next Sunday we're going to start the choir back up. But preacher, I taught a Sunday school class, and preacher, I've got it all together. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you got religion or have you got salvation? The difference in religion and salvation is this. With religion, you can participate in everything that I just talked about and it'll not bother you. Salvation, you may participate in that, but there is a conviction from God that sets in your life. I remember when I got truly right with God, I had to go back, Miss Tina, to some school teachers and say, I'm sorry. I'd done some things that I shouldn't have done. I'm sorry. I had to go back to some people that really to this day, I have a hard time liking. I love them because God commanded me to. Now you can say amen or oh me, but Brother Josh, the best thing I can do is love them from a distance. I know that's the best thing for me, Brother Joe, and the best thing for them. I'd be there at their beck and call if they ever needed anything, but religion, you'll come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services, if you want to put it that way. You'll carry a Bible. You'll act like you got your whole life together. But can I just say it this way? There's another you. There's another you. In other words, there's another lifestyle that you're living that is completely separate. Achan. Achan walked about the camp. Lord's good to us, ain't he? We're going to Canaan land. Boy, God's blessing us in the land of Egypt. But in the tent, had a Babylonian garment out, dancing around possibly in the tent with it. And you know, here's the thing about it. Achan couldn't enjoy his sin around nobody else. He had to keep it hid. Couldn't take it home to his wife and children and enjoy that with his wife and children. Had to keep it hid from everybody. Religion will cause you to live a counterfeit life. So I'm going to ask you this question if you'll come start playing softly. What have you got hid? Is religion something that you've got out here on the face for everybody? But if we could really see deep down inside your heart, there's never been that time that you realized that you was lost and on the road to hell. There's never been that time that you found yourself. It didn't have to be in an altar at a church. I didn't get saved in an altar at a church. But there's never been that time where you went to God and you said, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. Lord, I realize that and I'm sorry I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and to save me and forgive me and be my Savior and be the Lord of my life. If there's never been that time, can I tell you something? You're living a false lifestyle. What have we got hid this morning? You know, when I asked that question, no doubt in my mind, as soon as I asked that question, I know I come tonight and I'll give you 3 points, okay? I know I normally preach that way. I normally preach expository, right, line upon line, precept upon precept. But it's what the Lord said to say this morning.
As soon as I said, "What are you hiding?" there was something probably went off in your mind. Now let's go back to that for just a minute. Let's go back to that for just a minute. What are you going to do about it? You see, Achan, as soon as he took of that, could have confessed it, and possibly grace been shown. I don't know, but it's possible. But Achan didn't. Achan hid it. And you know what happens in Achan's life? If you've been here any time at all, you've heard me preach on Joshua chapter number 7. You know what happens? Achan and his wife and his children are stoned to death. Are stoned to death. Are you hearing me? Are stoned to death. Not just Achan, but his wife and his children. Come here, Victoria, and help Daddy preach just a minute. Let me tell you what scares me about sin is that my chastisement may come through her. David lived his life physically okay, but mentally, after he lost that baby with Bathsheba, I dare say he was never the same. David's chastisement come through his children. Amnon ends up raping Tamar. Absalom ends up having Amnon killed. Absalom ends up trying to overtake the kingdom. Why? All because of what David hid. All because, is anybody hearing a preacher this morning? All because of what David hid. The Bible says, we will not sin and get by with it. And let me tell you what scares me about being unfaithful to God. Let me tell you what scares me about being unfaithful to my wife. Let me tell you what scares me about being unfaithful to the things of God. My children. I don't serve God for my children's sake. I serve God because He's good to me and because that's what I'm supposed to do. But there is a fear inside my heart that if I step out in the wrong direction, that it won't be me that suffers for it physically. It'll be my children. Could you imagine as Israel stands before Him that day, one of them reaches down and picks up a rock and chucks that rock and hits Achan. And maybe his little girl looks up at him and goes, "Daddy, why are they so angry? Daddy, what are they doing? Daddy?" And then maybe one hits her brother. And then one hits her mama. And then all of a sudden one of those rocks hit her. They stoned them to death. Read your Bible. "Daddy, why is this happening to us?" And Daddy, having to look at his children and say, "I'm sorry. The reason you're suffering what you're suffering is because of my sin." Listen to me, mamas and daddies. You better be faithful. You better serve God in all sincerity. You better stay true to the things of God. Your children may reap what you are sowing if you don't. Boy, I'd hate to know. I'd hate to know something that happened to my baby girl because I walked into the pulpit a two-faced hypocrite. I hate to know something happened to my little girl because I walked into the pulpit with a suit on. But Brother Matthew, deep down inside, there was a lot of things hid. there was a different man that was living Monday through Saturday out there around everybody else, I'd hate to know something happened to my baby over that. That's what happened in the life of Achan. What are you hiding this morning? What are we hiding this morning, Father? Lord, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, you know the need of the service. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Here's what I'd say this morning. Number one, if the Lord spoke to your heart about something, you're to find your place in an altar and do business with Him. You said, preacher, what's everybody going to think about me if I go? Who cares what everybody thinks? You're to find your place in an altar and do business with God. Bitterness, backbiting, gossip, anger, malice, drunkardness. Man, you could preach on so many things. Disobedient. Some of you young people sitting in this room right now, treat your mom and daddy. I'm just going to tell you, I've heard some of you talk to your mom and daddy. If I'd have talked to my mom and daddy that way, they'd have wrung my jaws. And you want to stand in a choir and raise your hand. You want to act like everything's all right. No, it's sin. And as long as you keep it hid in your life, you'll never have the relationship with God that you should. So if the Lord spoke to your heart, I'd say do business with Him. Number two, I want to say this to you this morning. You may be here and you don't know for sure that you're saved. You don't know for sure that the Lord's your Savior. I want to ask you a question. Why don't you come get saved this morning? Why don't you get that thing settled? There's several in the altar. Why don't you get that settled this morning? Why don't you do business with Him today? She's going to play through one more verse. I'm not going to extend a long altar call, but I'm telling you something. I don't believe God gave me that message and put it so much on my heart for just two or three. Maybe it's a reminder to us that we better not go down that road. Maybe you have begun to look in that direction. And maybe God's saying this morning, hey, you better put the blinders back over your eyes.